kind of, you have to listen closely and sort of think about it to see what this has to do with patience. But I think you'll see it. Listen now to God's word.
Today's first scripture reading comes from 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 9b to 13, and can be found on page 351 of your Pew Bible. And the word of the Lord came to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too." The Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Today's second scripture reading comes from James chapter 5, verses 7 through 11, and can be found on page 1198 of your Pew Bible. "Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains? You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers and sisters, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy." This is the word of the Lord.
James says, be patient. I know, or rather I suspect, that's not something you want to hear. But it is there in God's word. We are told to be patient. In our society today, I don't know that patience is a particularly sought-out virtue. And I think that sometimes when we say that a person is patient, we have in our heads the thought that, well, that's kind of a weak virtue. And we admire the person, perhaps, who says, you know, I'm not a patient person. I want to see things done. I want to get things done. I want to see results. And in our society, that approach is admired often. Patience, however, it's something we might admire in other people, but we don't necessarily want it in us. As I say in the front of the bulletin, it's we want to be patient people, we just don't want to be there when it happens. And I think we've all heard the wisdom that says, don't ask God for wisdom because he might give it to you. Some basics about patience. First of all, in James, it's about people. James says in this passage about patience, be patient, and a consequence of that is don't grumble against other people. For James, being patient is about people. When I came to this text, I anticipated telling you my frustration with my lawnmower. It's a Honda, after all. A Honda. And it says, easy start. Well, it doesn't start easily. It's supposed to start after one pull. It takes at least four. Yes. Not that I'm counting. Not that I'm impatient with it. I was going to tell you about that, like I just did. and tell you about being patient with things and how important that is, et cetera, et cetera. Well, that's not what James is concerned about. He doesn't care in the very least about my more and my frustration with my more, but he does care about the ways I get frustrated and impatient with people. When I grumble against people, when I think they have failed my expectations or are not behaving in ways I want them to behave, and I grumble. That's the kind of thing that James is talking about. And it's true of his whole letter. Over and over again, James tells us how we are to treat people, how God wants us to treat people. Patience, according to James, has to do with how we treat people. Second thing that we should note about patience generally is it can be a character quality. It can be something that we say about people, that person, or I am, a patient person. There are people who are gifted that way. They just are patient people. Obviously not in every situation and not at every occasion. But as a rule, they're patient people. And if we were to describe them, that's what we'd say about them. They're patient, but that's not everyone. But what Scripture does say is that patience is a command. It can be a character quality, and it can be just the way a person is. And we sort of reserve that for a space in the sanctuary. These are patient people. But for everyone, every believer, every follower of Jesus Christ, patience is an expectation. It is a command. That's why James says, be patient. Become patient. Act patient. You might say to yourself, well, you know, I'm not a patient person. Too bad. The Word of God does not say, be patient. If you are already patient, it says, be patient. You might say, I'm not a patient person. That's not relevant. It doesn't count. The Word of God says to us, be patient. All right, with those general observations, let's talk about some specifics about patience. I think patience expresses itself in the Word of God and in James specifically in two major ways. It has to do with the definition, the words that are used. One definition, one expression is patience as waiting. Waiting with expectation. It is sort of what I shared with the kids this morning. Waiting. It's not sitting around waiting. It's an active kind of waiting. But sometimes we just have to wait. A father says to his child, his teenage daughter, I know you hate me. I know you don't think I know anything. And I know you think I'm the meanest person around because I won't let you do this thing. I won't let you go to that party. But you need to know this. When you stop hating me, when you come back, I'll still be here. I'll still love you. I will keep on loving you. And I will wait for you to come back. That's the kind of patience that James here is addressing. We wait. We need to wait. There are some situations where there's nothing we can do, so we can't do anything. But there are some situations when we can do something and yet wait. We can continue to be kind. We can continue to be helpful. We can continue to be vigilant in prayer, but we wait. That's part of what James says. We wait. Is that enough? Yeah, Is it hard? Yeah. But the Word of God says, sometimes you just have to wait. That's part of the meaning of patience. You do what you can, what you should, but you stand firm. That's why James used the illustration of the farmer who plants his seed and then waits. He expects a crop. There are circumstances beyond his control. He just waits. He doesn't dig up the seed to see how it's doing. He just waits. I have good news and bad news for you. The good news is that God says to us, sometimes you need to wait. Sometimes you need to wait for your husband to start talking to you. Sometimes you need to wait for your children to start talking to you. Sometimes you need to wait for your friends to like you again. You just have to wait. Good news, sometimes you just have to wait. Bad news, sometimes you just have to wait. Interesting thing, by the way. James says, as a source for this waiting and the ability to wait is the fact that Jesus is coming soon. Well, let's say you're a parent and you have a 4-year-old or a 5-year-old and an 8-year-old and they just do not get along. The instruction to you is that you do what you can and you just need to wait till the time comes. I'm not sure, but I'm thinking a parent in that situation, the first thought would not be, I need to be patient. Jesus is coming soon. I don't think so. I think James could say that to the early church because they were filled with the expectation that in their lifetime, Jesus would return. But we're 2,000 years later. Does this have any relevance to us? Yeah. Because it's still true, Jesus is coming soon. But more than that, the expression or the truth that Jesus is coming soon is a way of saying God is still in command. He has not lost track of us, of our lives, of what's important to us, and what hurts us. God is still there. James says he's waiting at the door, and that can mean that he's coming soon, but it can also mean that he's nearby. He literally is standing at the door, knocking. He's nearby. He's coming soon, yeah, in his time, he's coming soon, Jesus is coming soon, but he's nearby. He's standing next to you. He's waiting with you. Jesus is coming soon. God is still God. That is one resource for patience, for waiting. The other side of patience is a much more difficult side. And it is conveyed in the other word that James uses for patience. It's a word that he used at the very beginning of his letter. When you encounter various trials, count it all joy when you encounter various trials, for you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. The other side of patience is perseverance. Patience. Sticking with it. When James says to us, be patient, he has in mind not only waiting, but also hanging in there. Tough it out. Don't let go. He cites the example of the prophets and Job. I kind of wish he'd chosen other examples. He uses the example of the prophets because the prophets were often killed because they did God's work and they brought God's message. And then he cites Job. It all turned out good for Job at the end. But he loses his family. He suffers intensely. It's a good ending. Well, actually, it's kind of a good ending. Job's life is restored. At the end of the book, Job cries out to God, essentially asking this: why did you do this? Why did you put me through this? And God's response is essentially, who are you to ask? I'm God. And James and Job is good with that. The same is true with us in our experience of faith. Sometimes we just need to endure. We need to be patient in the sense of hanging in there, trusting God. When all manner of bad things happen. I can't imagine myself saying to someone in the midst of suffering, in the midst of pain, in the midst of loss, I can't imagine myself saying, be patient. But I can. And I have said to people, hang on, keep the faith, keep the faith. That's what James says to us. Be patient. Sometimes you just got to wait. Do what you can, but you got to wait. He says to us, hang on. I know there'll be times when you want to let go, when you want to say, it's just not working for me. Hang on. Be patient. Endure. Be steadfast. And in the end, he who is standing right by you will embrace you. And if he chooses to, he will bring healing to your life in a final way. James says to us, wait. Hang on. Let's pray.